Translation to the fourth canto, chapter 4, verse 34. When the Ribu demigods attacked the ghosts and Guyakas that were accompanying Mother Sati, they attacked with half-burned fuel from the Yajna fire. All these attendants of Sati fled in different directions and disappeared. This was possible simply because of Brahma Tejas, brahminical power. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The word Brahma Tejasa used in this verse is significant. In those days, Brahmanas were so powerful that simply by desiring and by chanting a Vedic mantra, they could accomplish very wonderful effects. But in the present age of degradation, there are no such brahmanas. According to the Pancharatrika system, in this age the entire population is supposed to consist of shudras because the brahminical culture has been lost. But if anyone displays the signs of understanding Krishna consciousness, he should be accepted according to Vaishnav Smriti regulations as a prospective brahmana and should be given all facilities to achieve the highest perfection. The most magnanimous gift of Lord Chaitanya's is that the highest perfection of life is available in this fallen age if one simply adopts the process of chanting Hare Krishna, which is able to bring about the fulfillment of all activities and self-realization. Alatta Ayudhye. They were attacking, these Guyakas were attacking with firebrands. What that means is there was so much wood being offered into the fire. And when wood burns, it becomes red hot, and it's some part of it may be turned into charcoal. So these Guyakas and these ghosts that were accompanying Mother Sita, they reached into the fire and they grabbed those hot burning logs, hot burning pieces of wood. And then they picked them up. That's called a firebrand. In case it's translation, firebrand, alata. Yudhye means they fought with that, they attacked with that. So you can imagine you're building a fire, you're putting pieces of wood in it, then you reach in and grab one piece. Hot burning piece of wood. It's a big stick or lati. A lati, burning, hot lati. And then they attacked with that. So then Bhrigu, he counterattacked. They said they became invisible by their Brahman Tejas. They disappeared. And Prabhupada makes the point in the purport that such power, such powerful Brahmins are not available. And he did wonders. Prabhupada said he did a wonderful thing. Did something miraculous. To disappear is miraculous. It would be a good power to have sometimes. It's called disappearing act. To do a disappearing act. To become invisible. So Prabhupada mentions in the purport that how did Bhrigu Muni do these wonders? How was he able to do this wonderful act? There were two things. One plus one equals wonder. One thing that he did was sankalpa. Sankalpa plus mantra, 1 plus 1 equals wonderful. Sankalpa combined with mantra, you can do something wonderful. The Prabhupada's first statement in the purport. Want to hear it again? The Brahmanas were so powerful that simply by desiring and by chanting a Vedic mantra, they could accomplish very wonderful effects. Right? So what is Prabhupada saying? By desire plus mantra, if you're powerful Brahman, you can do wonders. 1 plus 1 equals wonderful. So desiring, what does desiring mean? It means to fix your mind. That's sankalpa. Sankalpa. So what was the desire? Bhrigu Muni had a desire to become invisible because he was facing great danger. So it says that the Brahmanas are so powerful they could just disappear. So he had a desire, he fixed his mind on his desire. Fixing the mind, it's called sankalp, resolution, resolve, intention. Collecting all the thoughts, everything at that moment, all of his thoughts were collected on one point. He said, yes, I must become invisible. It was his sankalpa. And then he backed that sankalpa, was strengthened and supported by mantra. These are mantras from the Yajurveda. Yajurveda is full of magic. Yajurveda is the magic Veda. All kinds of tantric there, black tantric, white tantric, from the Yajurveda. Chanting mantras to make people turn into animals, chanting mantras to put people to sleep, chanting mantras to... There's all kinds of things. Like you can go around someone's compound wall. You can take a red string and go around the compound wall of someone's house while they're sleeping at 1 o'clock at night. Then you can chant mantras from the Yajurveda. And every living entity within the confines of that red string will go to sleep, deep slumber. If they're already sleeping in the house at 1 a.m., then they'll go deep in slumber. But if they have a big German shepherd, like all the people on Juhu Beach, big German shepherd, Doberman, German shepherd, big dog, the dog will also go to sleep. Or the five dogs, or how many dogs they have. And all the guards and chokidars will go to sleep. All the rats will go to sleep, the rats in the kitchen. Everything, all the living entities will go into deep sleep. Then the gundas and dacoits will saw the locks off the front gate, or use some laser saw, cut the locks, enter the compound, walk into the house. Everyone's deep in sleep, and no matter how much noise they make, no one will wake up. The dogs, the guards, the people. And they will rob everything in the house. Then they will leave. Then they will chant another mantra from Yajurveda, and everyone will wake up. But they're already in another country by that time. So such mantras are there in Yajurveda. And these things are even being used today. What I just described is even being done in Bengal and Orissa and other places where they're quite expert in these mantras. Even today, these things can be done. Dacoits are working with Yajurveda Brahmins. So this is power, Tejase. It's all about power, such power they had. Sankalpa, desire, plus mantra, you can do wonderful things. But then Prabhupada says, however, such brahmanas are not available in this age of degradation. This is Kali Yuga. He says, everyone here is... There are no such brahmanas in the present age of degradation, the dark age of ignorance, Kali Yuga. So how does one become a brahman? The Prabhupada says, by reformatory rites, by sanskaras. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, yes, it's a fact that human beings in Kali Yuga are very degraded. They're very contaminated. They're deeply infected by kam, krodh, lobh, moh, matsarya, envy, lust, greed, anger. Deep disease in the heart. What to do? Is there any solution? Is there any remedy for this disease of Kali Yuga? And he explains, yes, in the Pancharatrika system, there's a method of reformation. There's a method of purification of the consciousness, even in Kali Yuga. And it's called Pancha Samskara. Pancha Samskara means five samskaras. If you are a Hindu or Vedic person, you've probably heard of Dasavida Samskara. And Dasavida Samskara means this, the 10 reformatory rites, the 10 rituals by which a human being becomes eligible for transcendence, the 10 purificatory ceremonies by which one's consciousness becomes cleansed and purified, beginning with Garbhadan Samskara. Garbhadan Samskara means the Vedic ritual or purificatory rite by which the consciousness of the man and woman becomes sanctified, so that when they combine in union to produce a child, that jiva that enters the womb of the mother, or let's say the wife, will be a very high class human being, not some dacoit and gunda only interested in pilfering and stealing and raping and robbing. So it's called Garbhadan Samskara. And the Vedas are explaining that if one is a Brahmin, he's born in a Brahmin family, and if he does not undergo, when he's conceiving children in the future, if he does not perform the Garbhadan Samskara, then that dynasty is no longer Brahmins, they become Shudras. Although they can externally say, I'm Mr. Sharma, I'm Mr. Upadhyaya, I'm Mr. Tiwari. The name, of course, is a name of a Brahmin. But if they fail to observe the Garbhadan Samskara, the Vedas, the Shrutis are saying, the Smritis are saying, that they are no longer, that they are now Shudras. It's an interesting note. If you meet people that are Brahmins, Gujarati Brahmins, Maharashtrian Brahmins, and you ask the children, you meet your contemporaries, they're 20, 25, 30 years old, and say, you're a Brahmin. Did your mother and father observe Garbhadan Samskara? And first of all, he'll say, what? Say what? Garbhadan Samskara? Anyway, let me write that down. G-A-R-B-H-D-H-A-N-A, Samskara. Let me ask my mother. Oh, excuse me, Mataji, Prabhuji, father and mother, did you, when you conceived me 30 years ago, did you observe Garbhadan Samskara? And what will the mother and father say? Say what? What did you say? Gar what? Yeah, Gar, this is our Gar. This is our Gar, this is our house. Right? Gar means house, no? Garbhadan Samskara? I don't know. So I heard my great-grandfather said something. I don't know. I don't know. What is that? And then the son will say, oh, never mind. Kali Yuga ki jai. So this is the first Samskara, which purifies. And you can interview. I have done it myself. I've been 20 years in India. I've never left this country. I met so many Brahmins in Orissa and UP, everywhere. And I would inquire about these samskaras. There's only one samskara they do. What is that samskara? No, there's actually two. Thank you. There's actually two samskaras that Brahmins do. Yagya Upavita, the Brahmin samskara at the age of 10 or 11, they get Brahma Gayatri. And there's one other one. Marriage. Marriage, vivaha yagya. This vivaha is also sanskara. The rite of marriage, the rite, R-I-T-E, rite, ritual, the religious ceremony of marriage. So, out of the 10, 2 are done for the Brahmins. And the rest of society, 1. Everyone gets married. And they worship Ganesh, Om Sri Ganeshaya Namaha, and they worship the Digpals, and they worship the Mahajans, and they do so much puja. Devi Puja, Devata Puja, to ensure the auspiciousness of the marriage. And that's it. Hogya. No more samskaras. Just get on with the business. What's the business? Maya. This is the business. To hell with samskaras. What is all the samskaras? This is ancient mythology. Now the samskaras, IIT. IIT samskara. IIT. You have to qualify to get your samskaras. your Vidya Sanskara, so you can get entrance to IIT. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's saying in Kali Yuga there is some hope. There's still some hope for the jivas. Everyone can become reformed. Everyone can become qualified by Pancha Samskara. Pancha Samskara means Nam, Mantra, Urdhva Pandra, Yaga, and Puja. These five ceremonies that are done by the Guru. He gives you a name. He establishes your ego as Krishna Das by giving you the name of Krishna. Radha Dasi, Krishna Das. That's to establish your ego on the Brahman platform. Aham Brahmasmi. Well, samskaras are meant for that. The Dasavita samskaras are meant to bring us to Brahman platform. Ultimately. Purification of the consciousness. And then he gives mantra. Gayatri mantra, Gopal mantra. So one can awaken his sarup, his nitya sarup, nitya sambandha with Krishna. And then he gives Urdhva Pandra, the symbols of the Vaishnava. Kanti, Tulsi Kanti Mala, Tulsi Mala, and Urdhva Pandra Tilak. Then he engages you in Yajna, or Nam Yajna, Sankirtan, congregational chanting, and also book distribution, Brihad Mardanga. Then he engages you in Puja, and become Brahman. So all these Pancha Samskaras, they purify the living entity, enable one to perform Brahminical activities, so you can become a Brahman. Although it said, Kalo Shudra Sambhava, Kalo Shudra Sambhava. In the age of Kali, everyone has a Sambhav, nature. Everyone has, what does it mean, Kalo Shudra Sambhava? It means that we have the qualities of Shudras, the Sambhav. There's another verse, says, Janmana Jayate Shudra. Janmana, Janmana Jayate Shudra. This means, Janmana, from birth, we have the qualities of Shudra. We require training. No one is born with a PhD in computer science. Are they? I don't think so. There must be education, training, study, austerity. Austerity is required to get a degree in computer science. Sacrifice. Sacrificing your free time to study, no play. No vacation, study 12 months a year. So this is the way one becomes purified by observing these Pancha Samskaras. Although we're all Shudras, we have the qualities of Shudras. So we have to develop training. So this is, and then Prabhupada says that there's great fortune. Although this is Kali Yuga, it's full of contamination. Kalir dosha nidhi rajan. It's a nidhi dosh. Nidhi dosh. Ocean of dosh. All bad qualities everywhere. Everyone is naturally inclined. In Kali Yuga, everyone is naturally inclined towards intoxication. Naturally inclined to eat the wrong thing. Onions, garlic, coffee, tea, meat, fish, eggs. Naturally. Naturally inclined. Everyone's inclined to get intoxicated. Take this drug, that drug, whiskey, that thing. You see, the little children in the village, even in the village of Braj, the children, one-year-old child, he's naturally inclined to chew pan. Of course, it's a sanskar from his last life, I suppose. But you see, little children, 1 year old, they insist that their father buy them some supari. Oh, daddy, buy me some pan. And they rip open a little bag. I see them in the village of Radhakund. A tiny village in India, 10,000 people. Radhakund. And one-year-old children, they're demanding, Father, give me some pan. Pan is intoxication. Mild, but it's intoxication. So in Kali Yuga, natural inclination to intoxication. All these things. But there is one good thing. The Mahagun is this, but Prabhupada concludes, he starts off his purport by saying, in the ancient days the Brahmins were very powerful. By sankalpa and mantra, they could do wonders, become invisible, create so many wonderful, create demons by pulling out a hair, creating demons, or chanting a mantra in the south side of the fire and creating a big demon, like the king of Kashi in the Krishna book. When Krishna was attacking Kashi, and then the king of Kashi, his Brahmins were chanted mantra into the southern side of the fire. Now came this big demon, Dakshinagni. It's interesting, that was his name, Dakshinagni, the fire from the south side of the Yajna. His name was Dakshinagni, And then he immediately attacked Dwarka. He ran off to Dwarka to burn down Dwarka, and Krishna's Sudarshan disc was sent. That's in Krishna book. Everyone knows this story. So the Brahmins had so much power 5,000 years ago. Even 5,000 years ago, they could chant a mantra and create this huge demon came out of the fire. The son of King of Kashi was Sudakshina. Sudakshina, he told the Brahmins, look, we should get revenge on Krishna. So they had this power. So Prabhupada says, he starts the purport by saying Brahmins had that power. So that's a very positive thing. And then he says, then he changes the tone of the purport by saying, but we don't have that power. We're very powerless. We're very weak. We're infected by so much contamination, so much intoxication, so much dark, so many dark qualities are saturating our minds in Kali Yuga. So then the middle of the purport, you feel a little bit down, like, oh, there's no hope for me. But then Prabhupada picks us up. Oh, however, you can follow, you can become a Brahmin by accepting Vaishnava Smriti regulations, which we mentioned, Pancha Samskara. Then he says, but there's something special about Kali Yuga. There's a special blessing that one can attain a perfection. Lord Chaitanya has given a great gift. Now the purport comes, you become happy at the end of the purport. Madharam samapayat. Everything should end on a sweet note. So then Prabhupada says, don't be sad. Don't be unhappy about your disqualification or your inability to be a Brahmin or your inability to chant mantras like Brahmins or your lack of Brahmin tejas. We don't have this tejas and power and influence of Brahmins of yore. No, but there's still hope. The magnanimous gift of Lord Chaitanya is that the highest perfection of life is available simply by chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, okay. Wow, that's good news. Good news from Lord Chaitanya. So this is the gift of Lord Chaitanya. But what is the gift of Krishna? Krishna has given us all a gift also. Krishna has given every human being a gift. What is that gift? It's a gift of intelligence. The gift of a brain. In the human form of life, we have an intelligence. We have intelligence. And what is that intelligence meant for? Of course, Bhagavatam is saying, Sumedishaha, Yajantihi Sumedishaha. That intelligence is meant for Yajan, Yajantihi Sumedishaha. For someone's intelligence, they'll perform sacrifice. They'll sacrifice their life to attain perfection. So Krishna has given us, as human beings, Krishna has given us the gift of intelligence for searching the essence of life. This is the purpose of human intelligence, to search for the essence of life. So let's examine this material body, for example. What is the essence of this material body? Is it the skin, the bones, the hair, the heart? The essence of this body, if one looks within to find the essence of this body, the essence of the body is the Atma, the soul. So an intelligent person, understanding in his search for the essence of life, when he understands that the essence of my existence is my soul, then he will try to search out the soul, find out the soul, use his intelligence to discover the soul. Most people in this world, they're only using their intelligence to move within the three-dimensional plane of reality. The three-dimensional plane of reality means length, width, and depth. Length, width, and depth. Something is so long, so wide. Lambe, chorai, and niche, or whatever. Depth is what? Gerai. Lambe, chore, and gerai. Length, width, and depth. It's three-dimensional reality. So they're using their God, the gift of God. What is the gift of God in the human being, human life? Buddhi, intelligence. Radharas Vihari Ki. But they're only using this, their intelligence, the majority of Janmana Jayate Shudra, or Kalo Shudra Sambhava, majority of Shudras in Kali Yuga are only using the gift of intelligence, the God-given gift of intelligence. They're only using it to manipulate three-dimensional reality. Now some, very, very few human beings, they are trying to enter the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension. What is the fourth dimension? The fourth dimension is consciousness. Length, width, depth, and consciousness. So now the three-dimensional reality is material, body reality, physical reality, jada prakriti, the reality of dull matter, the reality of this external body, sense, the reality of my senses, the reality of my body. It's called jada prakriti. This is a physical energy, gross material energy, bhumera po nalo vayu. So some intelligent beings, very, very few, they try to penetrate the fourth dimension. The fourth dimension is consciousness. What lies beyond the body? What is that? In my search for the essence of life, I have found that my search has taken me to my heart, to the heart region. My search has taken me to the heart region, and there within my heart, within the core of my being, I've discovered the essence of my reality. Because an intelligent person who is really intelligent, he should try to search. That intelligence, and human intelligence, should be used to distinguish eternal reality from temporary illusion. Temporary illusion. Find the reality. So the reality is consciousness. The reality is eternal. And I am part of that reality. That consciousness is within me. I am consciousness. I am eternally real. I live forever. And I'm living forever in the context of this changing world. They say change is the only constant in the material world. Interesting phrase. Change is the only constant in the material world. Everything is changing except the Atma. We're changing bodies. We're changing jobs. We're changing cars. We're changing clothes. We're changing styles. We're changing ideas. We're changing likes and dislikes. We're changing seasons, summer to winter. Change is everywhere. Change is the only constant in the material world. But I am simply the Shakshi. I am witnessing and observing all the change. Everywhere around me, change. But I am unchangeable, permanent. So intelligence, though that handful of people, that handful of human beings that have some intelligence, they will try to explore the fourth dimension of reality, consciousness. And they will come under the Vedic paradigm. Their search for consciousness will bring them under the Vedic paradigm. It's called Varnashram Dharma. In the Varnashram Dharma system of reality, or system of social arrangement, the Varnashram Dharma system deals with four-dimensional reality. Dharma, art, kam, and moksha. Moksha is consciousness. Moksha is the fourth dimension dealing with consciousness. The Atma, aham brahmasmi. I am Brahman, I am spirit soul. And the whole purpose of Vedic civilization is to bring one to the platform of consciousness. Conscious realization of my eternal spiritual identity. Conscious realization of my eternal spiritual identity. I am part and parcel of the Supreme Consciousness. Mamai vamsho jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana. Manakshastrani indrani prakriti kani karshati. So this is the fourth dimension. Consciousness, moksha, mukti. To leave this temporary material world and to go to the spiritual world. Brahma suyuja mukti. Brahma kaivalya, to merge in Brahman, to enter the land of eternal slumber. The land of eternal slumber where you rest in the conscious reality forever, absorbed in the Sandini Shakti of the Lord. Eternal existence, Brahmananda. But Lord Chaitanya has come to give, Prabhupada says, the most magnanimous gift of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya has come to present the fifth dimension. Lord Chaitanya has come to present the fifth dimensional interest. The fifth dimensional interest. That is called Panchama Purushartha. Panchama Purushartha. Artha, interest. Art, you say art. Artha, interest. What is valuable? What is wealthy? Wealth, interest, valuable thing. This is art. Panchama Purush Artha. What is the fifth dimension? What is the fifth dimensional interest? We have length, width, depth. Then we have consciousness. Then above that we have prema. We have dharma, art, kama, moksha. There's also four dimensions. There's four dimensions here in the Vedic reality, in the Vedic civilization. Dharma, art, kama, moksha. These are four dimensions. But the fourth dimension, moksha, that only takes us to the level of consciousness and going to Vaikuntha. But Lord Chaitanya has come to introduce the fifth dimension. Dharma, art, kama, moksha, prema. Prema, pumartha, mahan. Prema, pum, artha, mahan. Maha-art. The greatest artha is the fifth dimensional interest. The fifth dimensional interest is Krishna prema. So this is the greatest gift that Lord Chaitanya has come to give. Krishna has given us intelligence. And he says if you use it rightly, you can attain perfection. In our quest for the essence of life, we should be essence seekers. Seek out the soul. And once one finds the soul, then one is eligible for pancha samskaras, an initiation. And when one takes initiation, in Vaishnava initiation, Gaudiya Sampradaya, pancha samskaras, then he begins the path of devotion. He treads the path of devotion, bhakti marg. Then he can realize the perfection of life simply by chanting Hare Krishna. What is the perfection of life? Because it says, Prabhupada's saying here, the highest perfection of life is available in this fallen age of Kali by this merciful Lord Chaitanya's gift of Nam Sankirtan. What is perfection of life? Perfection of life means to understand four things. Perfection of life means to understand the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, the transcendental Lord. And the second point of perfection is to understand the transcendental Dham, the spiritual world, which is everlasting and it is full of bliss, everlasting, full of bliss and full of perfect knowledge. To understand that transcendental Dham, that Chit Dham, Nitya Dham, Braja Dham. And the third aspect of perfection is to understand the transcendental identity of ourselves. This is the third aspect of perfection. Perfection means this. And what is the fourth aspect of perfection? The fourth aspect of perfection is to understand the transcendental process by which I can attain the spiritual world. The transcendental process by which I can go back home, back to Godhead. Bhakti Yoga, which centers around Krishnanam Sankirtan. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kaivalam. Kaloa nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. Gatir anyata means in this Kaloa, in this age of Kali, which is the age of contamination and degradation, as Prabhupada said, there is no way to attain perfection than Nam Sankirtan. No other way. Anyata. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam. So this gift is given by Lord Chaitanya. And when one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, then he comes to the perfect stage of life. He comes to the fifth dimension. The fifth dimension is prema. Right? Prema, panchama purushartha. And that fifth dimension is when one realizes that the sole purpose of my life, the sole purpose, which is interesting, S-O-L-E and S-O-U-L. S-O-L-E means cable. Cable only. The sole purpose of my life, the only purpose of my life, or the purpose of my soul, the sole purpose of my life is to dedicate everything in my command for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. This is the fifth dimension. So if you want to exist in a three-dimensional reality, fine. Stay in a samsara of birth and death. If you want to enter the fourth dimensional reality, fine. Merge in Brahman. Go to Vaikuntha. But if you want to live in the fifth dimension, fifth dimensional interest, Lord Chaitanya has come to say, hey, go for the gold. Go for the gold. I am the golden avatar. And I'm teaching you the service of Radharani. This is the golden one. Taptakanshana Gaurangi. Gaurangi. Go for the gold, the service of Radha. You want to settle for three dimensions? You want to settle for four dimensions? We have all of our Bhaktivedanta Institute people here. They're dealing with four dimensions, consciousness. The Lord Chaitanya is dealing with fifth dimension, fifth dimensional interest. Panchama Purusharta. Panchama Purusharta. This is a fifth dimensional interest. Krishna Prema. Radha Govinda Yuga Prema. So, we should go for the best thing. Come to the fifth dimension. So such fortune is ours. And we don't have to lament. We don't have to feel any kind of lamentation. Oh, Bhrigu Muni was so powerful. He was so powerful. He could chant a mantra and disappear. How much power is there in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? If you look in the Nectar Devotion, Krishna, one of Krishna's qualities is pratapi. Pratapi. One quality of Krishna is balayan. Balayan means very strong. Another quality is pratapi. Pratapi means most powerful. Most powerful. Krishna is so powerful. When he was 6 days old, he killed a witch, Putana, who was 12 miles long. It's described in Garga Samhita. She's a yogi, so she showed a human form when she entered Yashoda's house in Gokul. But then when she was flying in the sky with Krishna, she became 12 miles long, which means, how much is that? How many kilometers is that? 19.2 kilometers long. Unis kilometer lambe. Jaralambi, Kachari, witch, and Krishna was only this big. This big. Krishna was Yelambi. And she was Unis kilometer lambi. Her head was touching the sun. And Krishna, 6 days old, knocked her off. Pratapi. And then when he was a young boy, 10 years old, he defeated this Aristasura. And his Aristasura's tail was touching the clouds. And Krishna was a little boy. 10-year-old boy, 9-year-old boy. He defeated him. So this is Krishna. So Krishna's name is a divine powerhouse. Divine powerhouse. Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong. I am the strength of the strong. Krishna is telling in Gita, in the Vibhuti Yoga chapter. I am the strength of the strong. I am the ability in man. So Krishna is Pratapi. He's most powerful. So anyone who takes shelter of the Hare Krishna mantra, he becomes more powerful than Bhrigu Muni. Bhrigu Muni had so much Brahman Tejas. But how much Tejas is there in the Maha Mantra? If you talk about Brahman Tejas, what about Nam Tejas? He's Brahma Tejas, the power, his tapabalam, his brahminical power, Brahma Tejas. What about Nam Tejas, the power of the holy name? All the power of Krishna is in his holy name, divine powerhouse. We can connect with that. And when the power that comes from the holy name, what can we do with that? We can destroy, with the power that we derive from the holy name, we can destroy the demons of doubt and the witches of material desire. Bhukti Mukti Pishachi. Bhukti Mukti Pishachi. The witches of material desire, Pishachi, can be destroyed. That's more power than Bhrigu. He had the power to become invisible and create some demon out of the fire. But look at the power that any one of us, whether we're a Brahmin or a Shudra, Kshatriya, Deshi, Videshi, an Indian, American, French, it doesn't matter. So much, this is the divine powerhouse of all powers, the holy name of Krishna. And when we chant the holy name of Krishna, Krishna gives us power. He gives us, and what is the greatest power? What is the greatest power in this world? The power of knowledge. Vidya Shakti. Knowledge is the greatest power. And if one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, how much power he gets? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyanti te. He gets buddhi shakti. Buddhi shakti means intelligence. Intelligence means knowledge. Priti Bhajan, when one lovingly serves Krishna and dedicates everything for the pleasure of Krishna, he gets Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. I give the intelligence. Intelligence means I give the transcendental knowledge. Krishna directly gives the transcendental knowledge by which you can be united with Him everywhere and anywhere at all times. This is the real power. If you acquire knowledge by which you're always connected with God, that is the perfection of knowledge. That is that's a triple PhD. That transcendental knowledge by which you always have yoga, Bhagavan yoga, always have a connection with Bhagavan, you are the most learned man. So chanting Hare Krishna gives us the knowledge power. We get the knowledge power to control our senses. We get the willpower to control our mind. And we get the power of love to attract the heart of Krishna. This is all the power that we derive from chanting Hare Krishna. So what is this Brahman Tejas? This Brahman Tejas is nothing. It's insignificant. You chant a mantra by Sankalpa and mantra, you do wonders. But what wonderful thing can be accomplished by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? Is there anything more wonderful than that? Is there anything more powerful than you draw power from the Hare Krishna Mantra and you can destroy all your material desires? You can destroy the witch of material desires? Is there anything more powerful than get the knowledge power to control your senses and the will power to control your mind? Is there anything more powerful than that? And is there any greater power than to get the power of love? Love power? This is the greatest power. Knowledge is the greatest power, but above knowledge is the power of love. So the holy name of Krishna can give us the love power by which we can attract Krishna to our heart. Krishna will come down, Swarup Shakti, enter our ears and come in our heart. He'll reside there, Govinda Vishram. And sometimes he rests there in Swapna Vilas, and sometimes he stands. And when he stands, then he dances. Krishna's always walking. Every step is a dance. Every word is a song. And his voice is full of nectar. And his words, his actions are full of sweetness. So when he rises from our heart, then he comes to our tongue. And he dances on our tongue. Prabhupada said when we chant Shudanam, Krishna will dance on our tongue. So what more powerful, what is a more greater experience of power than that? This is Nam Tejas. Prem Nam Tejas. Prem Nam Prabhav. The influence of pure Nam. So we should take advantage of this great gift. What does Prabhupada say? The most magnanimous gift of Lord Chaitanya is that the highest perfection of life can be attained in this fallen age if one simply adopts the process of chanting Hare Krishna. So this is such a beautiful encouragement we're receiving here. That all of us, we can, Tej, what is Tej? Tej means power, Tej means light, Tej means influence. So how much, we ever hear the expression, love light. If someone is in love of God, that's called Prem Tej, the light of Prem, the influence of Prem, the power of Prem. Look at Srila Prabhupada, how effulgent he was. When I was working on Leelamrita in 1981, I came here in July of 1981, and for 1 month I was interviewing Sadat Jiva Lal and this person, that person. I was going to, every day I was going to Santa Cruz, getting on the train, that wonderful commuter train, and riding in bliss, blissfully riding from Santa Cruz down to downtown Bombay. And you get on the train and they pack you in like a sardine. And then after about 20 minutes, that train stops. And there's water all around. And I said, what is this? And they said, this is stool. This is all the stool from Bombay which is going out to the ocean. I said, wow. And the train just stops there. And there's everywhere on all sides of the track is all water and stool from the city of Bombay. And you wait there and do some pranayam and draw total ignorance into your body. And then you proceed further downtown. So this is my 1 month tapasya. This is juhu. Juhu means tapasya or oblations, yajna, juhu. But aside from that humor, what I want to say is that I was interviewing so many people that were politicians or industrialists. They're not initiated, but they all said, and I went to England, I was in England also on Janmashtami, right after Bombay in July. I was here in July, then I went there for August to Bhaktivedanta Manor. I was interviewing policemen, Harold Wilson, I've interviewed so many policemen, and everyone said, Guruji, your Guruji He was glowing. He was glowing. So this word is there in the purport. It says Ushad. Ushad bir Brahma Tejase. Usha, as you know, Usha means sunrise, called Usha, right? Usha. Ushad bir means, bir means strength, the strength of light. So he was glowing with Brahman Tejas. Bhrigu Muni was glowing with Brahman Tejas. And this is exactly the word that everyone would say. Your Guruji was glowing. He was effulgent. He was shining. Why was he shining? Because he had love for Radharas Vihari in his heart. He's an abode, Prema Shraya for Radharas Vihari. So he was shining. This is the Tej. This is called Prem Tej. He was shining with Prem. He had the power of Prem and the influence of Prem. And with that Prem Teja, Prabhupada conquered the entire world. With that influence, with that power and that effulgence. So this is available for all of us. This Brahma Tejas. Brahma Tejas for us, we chant the holy name, we attain more than Brahma Tejas. More than Brahma Tejas is Prem Teja. Knowledge power, will power, Prem power. The power to destroy the witches of desire and the demons of doubt. So many doubts we have. These are demons. Asura Shamshaya. Asura Shamshaya, the demon of doubt. But this chanting of Hare Krishna can put all the doubts to rest. So we'll stop there. Hare Krishna. Any comments or questions? When we talk about four dimensions, he's asking a question, everyone heard the question. What's the difference between mukti and prem? What's the difference between mukti prapti and prem prapti? What's the difference between mukti siddhi and prem siddhi? This is your question. So when we talk about four dimensional reality, when we talk about four dimensional interests, interest means art. Dharma is also an art. And art is also an art. And kama is also an art. And moksha is also an art. Some people are happy to be Dharma Dwajis. Some people are happy just to collect money. Some people are happy to enjoy their senses. And some people find happiness or meaning in moksha. So these, sometimes they say it's progression. Dharma leads to art leads to kam leads to moksha. You can say that, but also each one of these individual, they can be individual pursuits. Someone just wants to be religious. They're not interested in money, they're not interested in sense gratification. That's called the Dharma art. The Dharma art. The art. Someone just wants to get money. He doesn't care about religion. He doesn't even care about enjoying. He just wants to amass huge amounts of money. That's called art. And then there's calm art. The objective is calm. Sense gratification. Beg, borrow, steal. Eat, drink, and be merry. Eat food cooked in ghee. Somehow enjoy. And then there's some people want the art. They want mukti. They don't care about collecting money. They don't care about sense gratification. But of course, to get mukti, the mukti art, then one must do Dharma. But in all these four-dimensional realities, there's desire for me. There's selfishness. So those that desire mukti, they are not peaceful. They are disturbed because of their interest, because of their art. Their personal selfish desire, that is the difference. That's why it says, bhukti mukti siddhi kami sakale ashanta. Krishna bhakta naishkama sakale ateva shanta. It says that those that desire mystic cities, those that desire material sense enjoyment, bhukti, mukti, those that desire mukti, that's a desire, it's an art, it's an objective. Art means objective, aim and objective. They are sakale ashanta, they are not peaceful. But the devotee, Krishna Bhakta Naishkam, Ateva Shanta, devotee is peaceful because he has no desire. So Prem Prapti, the difference between Mukti Prapti and Prem Prapti is those that are aspiring in the Vedic civilization for moksha, they want something. They want eternal wealth, Sharsti. They want proximity, they want to live next to a big man. They want the prestige of living next to a big man. That's called Samipya Mukti. They want the prestige of living in a posh neighborhood. They want to live in a posh neighborhood. If you know what a posh neighborhood is. It means a wealthy neighborhood. They want to live in GK1 or Friends Colony or Malabar Hill or whatever is a rich neighborhood. That's called Salokya. They want the prestige of having a body like God. I want to look like God. That's called Sarupya Mukti. Or I just want to merge. I don't want to deal with that whole Vaikuntha thing. I just want to merge and sleep and be happy. And that's called Sayujya. But the devotee, the bhakta, Nadanana Janana Sundaram Kavitam Bhajagadisha Kame Mama Janamani Janmanishvari Bhavatad Bhukta Hoitakitui. The devotee doesn't want, he has no interest, he has no aim and objective. His only desire is to give satisfaction to Krishna. Krishna, you want to liberate me, you want to bind me, you want to tie me, you want to free me, it doesn't matter what you do. You can keep me here in this material world, Janmani Janmani, birth after birth. So that's the big difference. There is no selfishness in the fifth dimension. In fifth dimensional interest, Panchama Purusharta is the fifth dimension of reality. This is the ultimate perfect reality of Braja Gokul. Absolutely no selfishness, no self-interest, only the interest of Krishna. Let Krishna be happy, pleased, satisfied. I dedicate everything for His pleasure. I have no calculation. I'm not calculating. I'm not doing business. But in this Vedic paradigm, it's a type of business. I want moksha, I want mukti, mukti prapti. But in the fifth dimension, everything is for Krishna's satisfaction. If He wants to keep me here in the material world and preach Krishna bhakti forever, fine. If He wants me to bring me to Nikunj Lila to fan Him with a chamara, fine. Dasosmi. Das, das, anodas. Gopi Bhartu Padakamalaya, das, das, anodas. There's a big difference. Really big difference. Even mukti is tinged. The desire for mukti is a desire for personal interest. Anyabi lashita shunyam jnana karmadyanavritam anukulyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti uttama. Uttam bhakti is such a precious thing, such a rare thing, and that gift has been given by Lord Chaitanya. Not available in any other age. Pure love. Divine. Love divine. He's saying how to be consistent in sadhana. By hearing. By associating with advanced devotees and hearing Harikatha, it creates nishta, nishta vas. A semblance of nishta comes. Because consistency means nishta. And nishta, when it's anishtita in Madhurya Kandambani, it talks about the causes of anishtiti, anishtita bhakti. The lack of consistency is there. So the bottom line is advanced association, hearing Harikatha from advanced devotees. It creates nishta in the heart. Because advanced devotees will speak Bhagavat Tattva. Nashta Priyeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavad Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Nishtita Bhakti comes from Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he talks about Panchanga Bhakti. Mathura Vasastale, Nam Sankirtan, Sarvasanga, in Bhagavat Shravan, and Sri Shraddha Murti Puja, Shraddha Seva, with Seva. So he says, Bhagavat Shravan, Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. One should hear the Bhagavatam in association with Rasika Bhaktas, from advanced devotees. Bhagavat Shravan. So when one hears, that creates nishta. Because Shukamuni is guaranteeing it. Vyasamuni is guaranteeing it. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavat Yutama Shloke. Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. You want to be consistent in devotion? You want to be nishta? Steady, constant, nishta? Then you have to hear the Bhagavatam from advanced devotees. This is the answer. More, it's called Shravanadasha. Shravanadasha. Shravanadasha creates the adhikar to accept. And once you accept Krishna as your everything, then you become steady. When you accept apanadasha, when you accept that Krishna is your everything, then you become steady. And your habits of eating, mating, sleeping, defending, hearing, chanting, everything becomes nishta. And what is it, what verse of Shikshastakam describes the level of nishta? There's a verse from Sri Chaitanya Shikshastakam. You understand Shikshastakam, Chaito Dharvana Marjanam? There's a verse which explains the platform of nishta. When one is on the platform of nishta, he exhibits four qualities. And he has one engagement. Four qualities and one engagement. The four qualities are tolerance, humility, pridelessness, and respecting all. And the one engagement is chanting the holy name of Krishna and glorifying Krishna. Trinada pi sunichena, toraiva sahishana, amanina manidena kirtanya sandahari. So this is the point. So as Bhrigu Muni, so this is the answer to your question. So Bhrigu Muni, he combined sankalpa with mantra and he did wonders. He combined desire plus mantra, then he created all these demons and he did all these things. So we also can utilize this system. As Bhrigu Muni did something wonderful, creating, he chanted mantras in the fire and these big Ribu demons came out to attack the attendants of Sati. And then he chanted mantras, become invisible. All these powers are there. So we can also make a sankalpa. We can make a sankalpa. Desire plus mantra creates wonders. So what is our mantra? Maha mantra. The Maha mantra, Hare Krishna Maha mantra. This is our mantra. What is our sankalp? Our sankalp is that in this life, I desire in this life to dedicate every aspect of my being. I desire in this life to dedicate every aspect of my being. My physical functions, my sensual functions, my intellectual and mental functions, every aspect of my being, I want to dedicate to the loving service of Radha Govinda. This is our desire, this is our sankalpa. So we make that sankalpa, then we combine it, we join it with this mantra. Sankalpa plus mantra creates wonder. Adbhutam. So what wonderful thing will happen if today we make this sankalpa, that I want to dedicate every aspect of my being to the loving, eternal loving service of Radha Govinda. We make that sankalpa and we join it with the Maha mantra, chant without offenses, pure name, then a great wonder will happen. A great miracle will happen. We will realize our eternal identity. We will realize our eternal loving relationship with Radha Govinda. And entering into that eternal relationship, we will serve their lotus feet eternally in the groves of Vrindavan. This is the most wonderful thing that anyone could ever imagine. Sankalpa plus mantra equals wonder. And that's what Prabhupada says here. Simply by desiring and by chanting a mantra, he did something wonderful. So we should simply desire and chant the mantra and experience the wonder and magic of realizing our eternal relationship with Radha Govinda. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.